Kmart special up. Welcome, everybody, to the second meeting of the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation. For the record, it is February 7th, 2018. We've got four bills we're going to deal with today. The order we're going to deal with them is, first, it will be Senate Bill 1516, then 1506, 1532, and last would be 1536. And I'm going to pass the gavel so we can, let me open on Senate, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1516. And Senator, I'm going to go down there with Senator Burdick.
Okay, Senator Burdick and Senator Beyer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1516 creates the Small Business Expansion Loan Fund administered by the Oregon Business Development Department. It authorizes loans of up to $250,000 from the fund for early stage growth capital to individuals or businesses with 50 or fewer employees, and it allows for larger loans upon approval of the Oregon Business Development Commission. It establishes the eligibility criteria and provides terms of repayment, and it stipulates that the loan must be secured by sufficient collateral and security. It authorizes the department to set up to 20% of monies in the funds for loans to applicants with low to moderate income or personal net worth who operate businesses with a majority share owned by minorities, women, or honorably discharged veterans, or that are located outside of the Portland metropolitan area. It authorizes the commission to transfer funds in the Oregon Business Development Fund to the Small Business Expansion Loan Fund when reasonably and financially appropriate. There is a dash one amendment on it that revises the terms of repayment structure, plan, and pricing, and it adds the requirement that the Oregon Business Development Department consult with a representative from an association representing Oregon banks before adopting rules. We do have the fiscal and revenue statements back. There is a fiscal impact statement that has been issued, and there is no revenue impact.
Senator Burdick.
Let me go.
You go.
All right. I'll go first. Now, Ms. Chair, Senator Riley, for the record, Lee Beyer, State Senator from District 6. Senators, this is a Senate Bill 1516 is a bill that we're bringing forward as an effort, continuing effort, actually, to try and help small businesses in Oregon grow and become prosperous and create jobs and all of that. What we're actually doing on this one is creating a new, more flexible loan fund. It's called the Small Business Expansion Loan Fund. Initial seed funding will come out of the existing business loan fund that exists at Business Oregon, and I'll let them address that more technically. But the intent here really is to recognize that there's a group of entrepreneurs out there in traded sector businesses or businesses that service traded sector businesses that have a high growth potential, but they're new. They're startups, tend to be startups, although they may have been in business for a little while. But because of the nature of their business, they're not bankable under traditional lending practices. And what this bill does is it gives the authority to the department to work with these businesses, create a loan. Again, we're assuming that they're only going to make loans to businesses that have the ability to pay it back, and the traditional collateral requirements are on there, but more flexible terms. With the more flexible terms and higher risk, we can expect that the interest rate will probably be higher than conventional loans. In fact, the amendment that is part of this, the dash ones, address that point. But it's really to get at that. I've worked with a lot of these businesses over the years, and one of the things I've heard a lot from entrepreneurs is they may have a product that's ready to go out, but often because they're not bankable, they can't get the working capital to actually produce that product, even though they have an order. So this gives the department a little more flexibility to work with those companies. In terms of the repayment stream on it, I think it gives them the ability to tailor that repayment stream more towards the revenue flow in the business. But probably the key point here is it gives the department more flexibility to do this. I will note, and I think they'll address this, that it's always an issue with public financing programs because the intent is to provide financing that the businesses can't get from conventional lenders. So you've got a higher risk, and like any lending program, you're going to have a loss ratio hopefully you don't have that many of them, you cover it with others, but you will have that, and this is a higher risk group. But it's kind of the thing that we've talked about a lot. If we're trying to get these businesses started and going, we need to have a little flexibility to do that. Small program, I believe the ask that they're going to have from the Economic Development Commission is to shift $5 million from the existing loan program over to seed this one and get it started. And that's the concept. It's really pretty simple. And Senator Burdick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I want to express my appreciation for your taking up this bill at an early stage in the session. I'm Jenny Burdick, and I represent Senate District 18, which is West Portland and Tigard. The chair did a wonderful job of summarizing the need for this and the justification for having this fund separated out to focus more to better focus our resources to the small businesses that are the backbone of our economy. In a 2015 report on U.S. job creation, the Kauffman Foundation found that new businesses account for nearly all new net job creation and nearly 20% of gross job creation. So it really is the backbone of our economy. And as the chair pointed out, they oftentimes face difficulty getting financing at this critical period between the incubation and running to scale. Small businesses owned by women and people of color and those located in rural Oregon and distressed areas also often face additional barriers to funding that this bill may help to relieve. So I will stop my testimony there because you're going to have expert testimony from Business Oregon. But again, I wanted to thank the committee and especially the chairman for considering this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senators.
Do you have any questions?
Will any of these loans be going to cannabis-related businesses?
I think I'm going to leave that to the people who are going to make the loans.
I don't think they're, yes, I think I'll go with that answer. Thank you.
Okay, just wondering.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I am going to.
Okay, Taylor, who's next?
Next up we have John Saris and Mark Gregory.
So it's the business development folks.
Yes.
And we're going to call somebody in, a business end?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom. This is Senator Lee Beyer. I'm the chair of the Business and Transportation Committee, and we've got a panel here from Business Oregon to address Senate Bill 1516, which is the new Small Business Expansion Loan Fund, and we're going to let them talk, and then we'll give you a chance to testify, okay?
And I am going to put you on hold 1 second while I conference one more person in, but then we'll get you back on the line.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you.
There are two.
There are.
This is Eric.
Eric, this is Senator Lee Beyer. This is the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation, and we understand that you want to testify on Senate Bill 1516, and you're part of a panel including a couple of members of the department and another gentleman. And if we're right on, we're going to let them go first, and then we'll let you speak. Is that okay?
Yes.
All righty. Go ahead, John.
Thank you.
Did we have both on now?
Chair Beyer, committee members, for the record, my name is John Saris, and I'm the finance manager of Business Oregon. I am here to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 1516 and would welcome many of the technical questions that the committee may have. You'll have an opportunity to hear from a couple of people that have come today to present testimony. We have some small business owners that have been recipients of the fund pilot program that we have. And then also we have a consultant that has some familiarity with businesses, works with businesses in this space. And they will speak a little bit about how the program works for them, how it benefits them, and how it fits the need for these early stage companies. Really, what I wanted to do on behalf of the department is explain that we've identified a niche basically in the financial continuum for these small businesses where there is a funding gap, and you'll hear more about that gap today. And by introducing this program, there's an opportunity to begin filling that gap. And as was previously discussed earlier, these businesses are experiencing difficulties accessing capital at a really pivotal stage in their existence. They really have and demonstrate opportunities for significant growth. They're traded sector companies. They're scalable and present many great opportunities to support the economic diversity and promote the economic diversity of our state and help with job creation as well. Basically, these borrowers, as previously stated, are not bankable and have been unable to attract alternative sources of capital such as angel investment and traditional bank loans and lines of credit. You did get some written testimony. Brian Vieira, in his written testimony of the Small Business Expansion Loan Fund, says that it fills both an early stage gap before bankability as well as a debt path for companies that are not attractive to equity investments. In summary, there's really four key takeaways with this program. One, it's been designed to mitigate risk to the state and to the greatest extent possible become an evergreen program that will cover administrative costs and losses. Second, it continues to support the traded sector activities and growth in our state. Third, it does have the ability to focus on underserved and businesses located in underserved communities. It will help us extend outreach to minority, veteran-owned, women-owned businesses and focus on creating opportunities for them as well. And then finally, it creates a program that complements existing private debt and equity markets while improving the potential for these companies to attract other forms of capital in the near future. In closing, for my remarks, as stated by Jason Moyer in his written testimony, resources like the Small Business Expansion Loan Fund from Business Oregon perform an essential role in addressing capital gaps in the capital continuum that nobody else is likely to fill. Jason continues to say that the state's small business financing programs, when sensibly deployed, directly impact employment and job growth. And with that, I'd welcome any questions of the committee.
John, do you want to address the Dash 1 amendment?
Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 1 amendments accomplish really one critical thing, is that the role of these programs in most state programs is not to compete with other forms of private capital. And specifically in this case, the bank loans and credit union loans and lines of credit that are available. Essentially, and this has always been the plan and practice of the state, is that we will engage people in these spaces and consult with them when we're creating the rules for our programs and developing the return and things like that, so that we are not competing with those private capital resources available in the marketplace.
And just to be clear, it's my understanding that this amendment was an agreement that the department worked out with the private lending community to comfort them that you're not getting into their business.
Thank you, Senator. Yes.
Okay. All righty, sir.
My name is Matt Muse. I'm the Director of Operations of Bolt Marketing Group, the marketing agency that owns and operates Kids Obstacle Challenge. I'd like to thank Chair Beyer and the rest of the members of the committee for allowing me to provide testimony. Bolt is a marketing agency located in Southeast Portland. It was founded in 2009. We're a full-service marketing agency, but we specialize in events and experiential marketing. Bolt acquired Kids Obstacle Challenge, which is an adventure and obstacle course race series for kids, in 2016. And if you think of Kids Obstacle Challenge, think of a Tough Mudder or a Spartan race, but for kids. The mission of Kids Obstacle Challenge is to inspire and challenge kids and forge family bonds through adventures and obstacles. We proclaim Brave Your Adventure to encourage kids to courageously face the obstacles they will encounter on our adventure courses and carry that courageousness over to the obstacles they will encounter in life. In 2016, within 33 days, we rebranded the event series after acquiring it, redesigned the website, redesigned the social media accounts, set up the ticketing platform, created the infrastructure, designed, engineered, and produced new obstacles, secured venues, vendors, and volunteers, marketed and sold tickets, and then we held the first event. We ended up holding Kids Obstacle Challenge events in four cities in 2016, Portland, Bend, Seattle, and Boise, Idaho. We learned a lot that year, and we were fortunate enough to experience 71% growth from the prior year, from the prior owner. In 2017, last year, we held events in 10 major cities, Dallas, Austin, Denver, Chicago, Los Angeles, the Bay Area, Sacramento, San Diego, Portland, and Seattle. We had a great time. We brought a lot of joy to kids and families, and we also experienced 497% growth from the prior year. Thanks to the Oregon Business Development Fund, or OBDF, and its fine and talented employees, we are now positioned to go to 20-plus cities throughout the United States and continue our rapid growth trajectory. While we reached out to a number of banks and VCs, venture capitalists, we kept getting the same story. The banks wanted collateral, and the VCs were interested in tech plays. But OBDF wanted to support a growing Oregon business with a clear vision and plan for growth. Again, thanks to OBDF, we have hired six people since last December, including a course manager, a marketing manager, a course builder, an event producer, a junior designer, and a customer service representative. We also transitioned one of our existing employees from part-time to full-time. In addition, we're working with a number of Oregon-based vendors and fabricators for additional equipment and obstacles. While we look forward to the day when banks and VCs will want to finance us to support Kids Obstacle Challenge, and we believe that day will be soon, we are very pleased that we had the option to secure financing through OBDF, as they were uniquely positioned to lend based upon performance history and our plan and vision for growth. We have gone live with six of our 20-plus planned events so far this year, and we plan to roll out 2 to 3 new cities by the end of this week. We are proud to have our secured Cliff Bar as our presenting sponsor, Razor, the scooter and rideable company, as our competitive wave sponsor, and we're in the final contract stage with Subaru of America to come on as a title sponsor for at least all of our Western events. OBDF has allowed us at Kids Obstacle Challenge to achieve our immediate goals and has positioned us for continued growth into the future. We look forward to continuing to inspire and challenge kids and forge family bonds through adventure and obstacles on our Kids Obstacle Challenge courses. Please visit us on our website, kidsobstaclechallenge.com. You'll see some great photos and video. I'm sure it'll bring a smile to your face. For more information, thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. I think I'm going to go to the two gentlemen on the phone. So, Mr. Mead, if you would like to offer your comments and start by putting your name on the record, please.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. Dear members of the committee, my name is Eric Mead, a bent businessman, and I wish to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 1516, in particular the Small Business Expansion and 5-Year Revenue-Based Financing Program. A little bit of background, I moved to Japan in 1994 to a leading climbing wall manufacturing business called Entreprise. By 1999, I purchased the U.S. division of this company from the French parent, grew the company from approximately $600,000 a year to over $7 million in revenues, healthy profits, 70 employees, with a successful exit in 2008. After that, I worked as the membership director for an organization called Opportunity Knox here in Central Oregon, and for 2 years, I recruited over 200 business members to OK, Opportunity Knox, during that time. And OK, if you don't know, puts together teams of CEOs where they meet monthly to discuss CEO challenges and set strategy. I heard many challenges from the business owners during this period, many of which were financial and cash flow related. I also was a member of OK during my five years during Entreprise's ownership, and then I facilitated a team, mostly traded sector manufacturing companies, including CEOs from Hydro Flask, Kilo, Picky Bars, Silly Pints, R&H Construction, Ocean Equipment, Roughware, Deschutes Brewery, Sudara, and Gem Nut Butters. In 2014, I began my own small business consulting business, focusing on strategic planning, financial control systems, and leadership development. I mostly work with small businesses with a bit of traction and occasionally a startup. Also in 2014, I co-founded Bend Outdoor Works with Gary Braceland, an outdoor consumer product accelerator located here in Bend. We saw the existing 65 or so outdoor companies in the area needing support and mentoring. We're now approaching around 100 outdoor-related companies. And through this Bend Outdoor Works accelerator, the mentors, we have seasoned outdoor expert mentors. And as an organization, we take a small equity stake in these companies in exchange for mentoring for a year-long period. So far, we have had four cohorts, 14 companies, and we're about to start our fifth cohort at the end of this month. We do intensive weekly cohort meetings with all the mentors and entrepreneurs for 16 weeks. We stay with them for a full year, but we accelerate them, in other words, make them or break them quickly on strategy, model, market analysis, financing, business structure, and so forth. And lastly, as part of the Bend Outdoor Works, we hold an annual conference festival in Bend in October called the Venture Out. We have had three of these to date, and we bring entrepreneurs to the stage to pitch and win cash and financing. Last year, we had 40 applicants, 9 made the stage. We gave around $20,000 in cash grants, and Business Oregon joined Venture Out of 2017 as a sponsor and awarded two companies a combined total of $100,000 in financing to companies Rugged Thread and Mountain Metals. So that's enough of the background concerning the Senate Bill 1516 and royalty-based financing program. I have 8 points. Number one, I feel there is no solution like this from a government agency available. I believe it's very unique and creative. Number two, it's an excellent tool for companies that are not bankable. It may be their only solution. Three, this tool clearly bridges the gap right before extensive venture capitalist or investor solutions are considered, but which are often complicated and a challenge for an emerging business owner. Four, it's a good solution for a state agency to support the business community in lieu of taking an equity stake. And often equity only in favored currency of emerging entrepreneurs. Five, I believe it's an attractive tool for high margin products or services with a rapid scaling plan where no other investment is available. Six, I believe it's a great tool where increased scaling will result in proven and rapidly reduced costs in a short amount of time. Seven, royalties are tied to sales, meaning there should be cash available to make monthly payments. And lastly, point eight, the flexibility of the program is great considering all the factors going into an informed financing decision, but also it may make it harder to sell this product because it's unclear of how it works. That's all I have for the committee.
Thank you very much. Mr. Healy.
Hello, Senator Beyer and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Healy. I'm the president of the No Bake Cookie Company. Along with my wife, we operate our facility in Bend, Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to present via phone conferencing to provide testimony in support of Senate Bill 1516. The No Bake Cookie Company is a 7-year-old, woman-owned company based in Bend, Oregon. We manufacture a line of gluten-free, non-GMO, no-bake cookies. of which we ship throughout the country, making us an Oregon traded sector company. Throughout 2016 and 17, we applied for conventional loans at numerous banks throughout Oregon to no avail. Working with Tom Snell from Business Oregon, we were able to secure a $250,000 line of credit at a much higher cost than traditional banking, but it turned out to be the only debt financing available to us. We followed right up with an equity financing round by showing our potential investors that we had the unused $250,000 line of credit on our balance sheet. It gave us the financial advantage we needed. After acquiring the Business Oregon loan, we have had the ability to, number one, hire a national sales director, number two, hire a team of national brokers, number three, adding a line of equipment and doubling our production ability, and number four, add an additional six employees to our staff. And in 2018, we are on track for a 100% growth this year. Without Business Oregon's help, we would not be where we are today. I do want to thank you for your time today and welcome any questions you may have.
Okay. Questions of either of these or any of these gentlemen?
Committee?
None? If not, thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We're
going
to move on to the next people.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All righty. We have two more. Mark Gregory and Jody Weisner. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Well, Chair Beyer and members of the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation, I'm Mark Gregory, State Director with the Oregon Small Business Development Center Network, serving approximately 5,000 clients across our 17 community colleges, two regional universities each year. Senate Bill 1516 is an important step forward to provide additional financing for Oregon's expanding traded sector small businesses. Small businesses, obviously big business here in Oregon. More than 90% of our firms have fewer than 50 employees. And as you know, these businesses create a big impact on our economy and in our communities. The Oregon Small Business Development Center Networks works each day through business assistance with small businesses looking to expand and grow. To be clear, Oregon's businesses are ready to scale. The Small Business Development Centers, in partnership with Business Oregon, the Small Business Administration, have also provided a special focus on traded sector businesses that are set to expand the need for additional support. So these programs, such as our Scale and Scale Express programs, a meeting I just came from actually elsewhere here in Salem, partner with Business Oregon in such a way that we help with planning, market research, digital media, import-export planning, mentoring, and importantly, accessing capital. We've also formed a capital access team that specializes statewide in a regional way to assist with unique sources of capital. The Small Business Expansion Loan Fund goes hand in hand with these efforts. This legislation will help small businesses access capital they need to grow successfully. Our centers are already working with small businesses that are looking for this type of capital, particularly in the rural areas where funding options may be more limited. As the committee looks at making this program permanent, I would encourage the committee to consider supporting these early stage companies. In rural communities, there are businesses looking to expand and grow that may have an established customer base already, and expanding manufacturing production capacity, purchasing equipment to increase their business efficiency, or developing a new facility that can be just as necessary for a rapidly growing company as well as the startups. An established company may also be growing into a new product line or a market to create sustainable long-term success. So providing access to capital for these types of businesses on these terms, where other funding options may not be available, can and would provide a great value to our communities and the small businesses within them. We look forward to working with Business Oregon as this program moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Jody?
Jody Weiser, speaking for Tax Fairness Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity, Senator Beyer. So we appreciate this way of helping businesses. The capital is often a problem, especially for early growth and expanding businesses. And further, the choice that a business might make or an investor might make between wanting to provide a loan versus wanting to provide equity is an important decision. Different people have different decisions about that. So even somebody with a business that could get money from an investor that wants equity, they might not want to give equity. They might prefer to give interest. On a technical level, we do have a couple of comments. One is we note that there is no maximum limit for the size of the loans, and the small energy loan program seemed to have no limit as well, because there were several loans there that ended up going bad, and they were for amounts well above what most of us think of as small loans. That was also in a department that wasn't experienced in handling loans, and so we're glad this program will be with Business Oregon, where they have expertise in evaluating, negotiating, and managing loans, and those are important qualities for the representatives of the state to have. We're glad they have deep experience there, and we hope that this will keep the failed loan stories off the front pages of our newspapers. We do think this is a far better policy than a lot of the tax ideas that come forward, like the pass-through tax break, which is kind of a random gift to whoever gets it instead of meeting a strategic need. And we like the fact that we're spending money on innovation centers, on training workforces at colleges and universities for specific industries, providing research for those industries, providing the small business support centers for supporting trade missions. These are all things that make real hands on the ground, feet on the ground, differences to businesses. And they're the kind of support that we like to see the state making. We're glad we're moving forward with this. Thank you.
Super. I will note in reading the bill that there's a limit of $250,000 loan that the staff can make.
Right.
Anything over that has to go to the commission.
But there's nothing about how much the commission could make. And I think there were some $20 million loans in the small energy loan program.
Duly noted.
I did hear that they're only asking for $5 million right now, so they're probably not hoping to give one loan out. So there's probably a limit right in that. But it still is an issue that might be considered.
Given the nature of the business that they're proposing to deal with this, I hope they don't go that far. It'll be a big loss. All right. Any questions of Jody Martin?
Are these the right people to ask my question? Any of these loans anticipated to be for businesses that deal with cannabis?
Again, you need him to answer that. He's going to be making the loans.
Oh, okay.
Chair, members of the committee, again, John Saris, Business Oregon Finance Manager. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we are unable to make loans to businesses in the cannabis industry. The large part of that reason is because we also get federal funds, and our agreements with those federal funds prohibit us from making loans and participating in activities that are illegal at the federal level.
That's the answer we wanted to hear.
Mr. Chair, that breaks my heart.
I knew that was the answer you wanted. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 1516? Seeing none, I think we'll close the public hearing on that, and we will not go into a work session. Perhaps by the time we get to the end of the agenda, we'll have the rest of the members here. We'll see. So we'll close on that, and we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1506. And I think they want to get Senator Manning.
That is correct, sir.
He's going to have that back.
Is he in
the hallway? I think he's in another committee.
They went to get him.
They went to get him. We'll just set in recess for a minute here.
Wait.
What?
And blue light. It wasn't on.
But again, we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1506. Senators, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Byers, members of the committee.
Senator Olson.
Really do appreciate this opportunity, and thank you for your flexibility. Things are kind of crazy today, but we're getting it done.
We've noticed that.
My name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I'm a senator from District 7, which is northwest Eugene, up to Junction City, and all the marvelous farm agricultural communities in between there. I'm here in support of...
Monroe in your district?
No. Say, please.
Is Monroe in your district?
No, Monroe is, I think, Senator Roebling has that.
You're sitting right there.
I know, but there's a Monroe, Oregon. I've campaigned there. Yeah.
No, I think that car right just, I just missed it.
Oh, okay.
I think that's either, I'm not sure, that's either Senator Gelser's or Senator Boquist, but I think it's Senator Boquist.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm here in support of this bill because currently in Oregon, we have about over 350,000 veterans. Recently, a friend of mine, I found out, he's 84 years old, and he had a stroke. And now he's confined to a wheelchair. We had a conversation, and I found out that he, at the time of the draft in World War II, that he enlisted in the military. He's never filed for any types of benefits or anything like that. Sometimes we go up on the radar about Korean War veterans. We don't hear very much, but we have a substantial population of Korean War veterans. They don't talk about their service. Our Vietnam War veterans, we have a lot. Lane County has about 30,000 veterans or something like that, around that number. And of that, I'm not quite sure how many of those veterans are registered for VA for any benefits. I'm saying all this to say
not very few of us.
Very few. veterans do not take advantage of any of the benefits after their service, their injuries. Now, we have a new crop of veterans, Gulf War Era 1 and 2. These veterans are surviving on the battlefield because of new technology and new techniques and training and stuff. And many of them are coming back with a lot of scars, single, double, triple amputees. Makes life a lot difficult to adjust. What this bill does is that it provides just a small measure for those veterans that may decide that they need a little bit more assistance in terms of when they're going to their appointments, when they're going shopping. It provides a little bit of dignity when they can go to someplace that's closer, not just because there is a handicap parking placard there, but just because it's more convenient to them. We've taken a lot of convenience away from our veterans, and we kind of, on a daily basis, especially at VA, it seems like they're just trying to just take and strip away veterans' benefits. This bill simply does one thing. Veterans with a 50% or more service-connected disability that requires a handicap parking placard to be able to get one, and it will permit them to park anywhere public parking is permitted at no cost. It's a really easy bill, and it's a small measure that we can provide to our veterans. We got veterans throughout the Senate. Thank you for your service. I recognize Air Force. I think Air Force is pretty cool. And, got a pretty bad look. Anyway, I'll leave it with that, Senators.
You got two Air Force up here. I don't know.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, Senator. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator. I represent Senate District 20. I'm here basically because the Sergeant Major, who outranks me, said I had to come with him to represent this bill. No, I'm here with great honor to support this bill. Our veterans most often or many times are treated as second-class citizens. We have veterans on your committee. I've been on the Veterans Committee for 7 years, and it concerns me that our veterans, when they come back, they've lived in a world that most people don't understand. They've lived in a world where regime or regimentation, I should say, is every day in and day out. But they also live in a world where combat is a reality, where friends get killed. They live in a world that when they're done with their duty, they come home to Oregon, and they sometimes can't find themselves. But in Oregon, we're trying desperately to bring them back into their real world, their real lives. And this is a good measure to do it with, because as our wounded warriors come home, sometimes it's difficult to park a half a block away or a block away from a facility that you want to go into because of something that happened in the military, whether it be traumatic or whether it be PTSD or whatever. And this bill, when Senator Manning brought it to me and asked if I would be willing to sign on to it, and I looked at it and I said, of course, because we in Oregon honor Oregonian service. And I think this would be a step forward to say, welcome home, and thank you very much for what you've done.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Senators.
Thank you.
Most appreciate any questions to the Senators. I'm saying thank you very much. We'll let you get back to work.
Thank you.
Amy?
Chair Byron, members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. Not much to add to the eloquent testimony earlier. We saw this bill in 2017. It went down to Ways and Means and never came out. DMV has a pretty manual, simple method to implement this measure, and we'd be happy to do that when the bill passes.
Super. Any other questions? Senator Monroe?
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about the implementation, because, you know, we have to make sure that it's not abused and that the people that are using this are truly wounded
sure.
warriors. So
sure.
how would you tell me about the checks?
Sure. Chair Byron, Senator Monroe, I mean, the first thing is, as Senator Manning indicated, the first step is that the person has to demonstrate a disabled status as anybody else who gets a placard, a note from a doctor or something saying that they have mobility or vision or other kinds of issues. Then on top of that, it would be, I suppose, a DD-214 or other document demonstrating 50% plus service-related disability. So that kind of documentation, we'd have to work through whether that's a DD-214 or something in addition to that. And then what DMV will issue is a sticker that would be placed on the various kinds of disabled person placards that are issued. Under the current system, we won't be tracking who gets this sort of increased benefit kind of sticker for this, but under our new system that we're in the process of installing over at DMV, we will be able to track that kind of specificity. So that information is on a person's driving record, and so if you've got a placard, that should be accessible on the record.
Okay. So follow up. So this would not be the normal handicap blue tag that other handicapped people use.
Chair Beyer and Senator Monroe, for folks who already qualify for that, then it would be a sticker that's added on top of that placard. That's how we're keeping it very inexpensive so that the bill has, you know, can succeed in the process.
Sounds good.
Great.
Any other questions for Amy? Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
And I'm going to, I see Senator Johnson here for a bill. I'm going to recess this one just for a second and open on the Senate bill 1536, public hearing of the Senate bill.
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, may I ask Ms. Joyce to join me?
I suspected that was going to happen.
Mr. Chair, this is Senate Bill 1532.
Oops, excuse me, 1532. My error. You're on.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I proudly represent Senate District 16. It will have taken me longer to walk to committee today than to testify. This bill, proposed legislation that's gotten the okie-dokie from ODOT, although they may amplify slightly for the benefit of the record, is very simple. For many elderly, disabled, or balanced, challenged individuals, four wheels on the ground is more stable and reassuring than three. This bill brings clarity to users, ODOT, and local police. I would have been joined today by an elderly gentleman from St. Helens whose personal situation gave rise to this bill, but his ride to Salem fell through. He does not drive other than it is other than his scooter. It is his only means of mobility. So on his behalf, I am asking that the committee respond favorably to the bill and give him four on the floor.
That's a powerful scooter. Amy?
Chair Beyer and members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation, as Senator Johnson indicated, just wanted to get some things on the record. While the bill just changes the definition of what a motor-assisted scooter is, there are several statutes that talk about what you may and may not do and your rights and responsibilities in operating one of these things. So some of it's in my written testimony. Just as an example, you have to be at least age 16. You can't operate it at more than 15 miles per hour. You need to use hand signals for stopping and turning. You need to wear a bicycle helmet. And just so folks can know what we're talking about, since this was a constituent case I worked with Senator Johnson, here's a picture of what I refer to as a totally pimped out scooter that this individual drives.
And my constituent here in, leaning against the wall.
Here's another one that looks kind of like a motorcycle. They're kind of cool. Check them out on the internet. But anyway, that's what it is. Just wanted to let folks know that you can't do anything you want with one of these things. There are limits, and that information is out there in statute, and we'd be happy to provide
it. Amy, no additional costs that require this to go down to Senator Johnson's Ways and Means Committee?
Chair Beyer, absolutely not.
Probably wouldn't make any difference. All righty. Any questions?
No. That's good.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Senator. Is there anybody else who needs to address or wants to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on that, and we will reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 1506. And David Breen, you want to talk? Hello, David. Come on up.
Thank you. My name's David Beam. I'm an advocate for special needs population in Oregon. Some of them can't get anywhere because after 9 o'clock, it ain't no services after 9 o'clock. Some of them have to walk to the hospital, or they can't go to school, or veterans can't go to work because they got no transportation system. So we only one in the nation don't have Saturday service here. In Oregon, in Salem. So I like to see the governor and both House and Senate pass a bill, get transportation for Salem area as soon as possible, because a lot of people have been waiting for it, and we need to get it done now. Yeah, we can't wait. It's up to voters, and the voters said they want it. So I like to see all the senators on both sides and fix this as soon as possible and get it done deal.
Alrighty. Thank you, David. I think you were intending to testify on Senate Bill 1536, but we will note that for the record.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you
very much.
Thank
Most
you.
Most appreciate it. I see a couple of veterans. Did you wish to testify at all?
No, Senator
okay.
Johnson did it for us.
Good enough. He's taking care of us. All right, so I am going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 1506, and while we have some time, doesn't look like we're going to get the other members, so we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1506. And would you like to move the bill?
Is that the one with the, that's not the one with the dash one amendment?
Nope. And it.
Okay.
1506, and it needs to go to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1506 down to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 1506 to Ways and Means with a due pass, actually, it's with the due pass recommendation with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Right.
Discussion on the motion. Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none. 1506 goes to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. All righty. So 16. Let's do 1532.
Okay.
So we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1532, Senator Monroe.
And that is going to Ways and Means, or?
It does not have to go to Ways and Means.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1532.
Oh, excuse me. I made a mistake here. We need to adopt a dash one amendment.
There's a dash one amendment.
Let's do the amendment first.
Okay. Chair Beyer, I move that we adopt the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 1532.
Senator Monroe has moved the Dash One amendments to Senate Bill 1532. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? The Dash Ones are adopted. Now, Senator Monroe.
And Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1532 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 1532 as amended by the Dash One amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none.
I'm sure Senator Johnson would like to carry it.
She will. Oh, and I didn't assign it. Actually, the other one don't have to. It's going down. Senator Johnson will carry this one. And let's see. We just as well do the loan program. You feel comfortable with that?
Yep.
Okay, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1516. We have a Dash Ones to adopt.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash One amendments to Senate Bill 1516.
Senator Monroe has moved the Dash One amendments to Senate Bill 1516. Discussion on that motion. Is there any opposition to that motion? The Dash One amendments are adopted. Senator Monroe.
And Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1516 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved, excuse me?
Or is it go to Ways and Means?
It needs to go to Ways and Means.
Oh, it needs to go to Ways and Means. I'll get it.
To Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 1516 as amended by the Dash One amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion on that motion.
By prior reference, just to clarify.
By prior reference. It's going there anyway. Any any discussion? Is there any opposition? There is none. Senate Bill 1516, as amended, moves to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. So we're closed on that one. So now we will wait, I guess. So where are our people? Where's the two senators?
In transit, I believe.
In transit. How appropriate. Here we go. The chair will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1536 and invites Senator Courtney. I think you're alone, Senator. All of my Republican members are previously committed.
I think I know where they're at.
Well, we know where they're at, waiting for TV cameras. You're on.
Chair Lee Beyer, Vice Chair Thompson, in absentia, members of the Business and Transportation Senate Committee. Thank you for letting me testify on a piece of legislation I've been working on for a while and haven't been doing too well. It's Senate Bill 1536. It was introduced to other sessions, different numbers, and it involves the Salem-Keizer Mid-Valley area of the state. Transit has always been important to me. I served on the 1979 Salem City Council that created the Salem Transit District. Now, actually, that district was created by law. The legislature had to create the district, but the Salem City Council used to be responsible for the bus system here going beyond its city limits, and so they decided they had to create a transit district. And I was in the city council and worked with the legislature to create the boundaries of that. And I was on the first ever Salem Mayor's Transit Board, which at that time had members on it from the City Council, Polk County, Marion County, as well as some others from the community. And I served on as one of the City Council members. I've watched Salem, its transit grow. Salem-Keizer, Mid-Valley is the way to say it, not just the city of Salem. It's the rate you all know about metro areas. And I'm told that there was 2 million trips a few years ago in the 80s to 4 million trips today. I want to make sure that Salem Transit can continue to grow and provide reliable, safe, and timely service in Salem and its communities. That's why this bill comes to you. Now, the Salem city population in 79 was 87,000. Today, it's 167,000, and making it the second largest city in the state. Salem's the second largest city in the state. It beats out Eugene, sorry, Senator, well, you're Eugene, but you're Springfield, by 900 people. Now, I don't know if that's true today, but that's as close as it gets. And Salem is 50% larger than Gresham and nearly 60% larger than Hillsborough, the fourth and fifth largest Oregon cities. As of the 2010 census, the Salem area was the second largest metro statistic area in the entire state of Oregon. So I'm not sure everybody realizes Salem is a little bit bigger than they think she is, and it is a rapidly growing community and has been. Yet Salem Transit District is treated different. This is treated differently than all those cities. And what I mean by that is the only city in Oregon with a population of over 100,000 with an elected transit board. The seven members are all elected from zones. If you look at TriMet, which is the great Portland area, Lane Transit, your area, Santa Barbara, Springfield, they're both appointed boards appointed by the governor, and I believe that we have to approve those boards. So that is how those boards are governed. But on a nationwide survey, and I don't quite understand these figures, you're going to have to help me, of 177 transit districts show that only 3% of transit boards are elected. Only 3% are elected. So far and away, transit boards are not, they're not elected. They just aren't. They're appointed. 60% are appointed by an elected official. So the governor appoints ours, and 60 others, it could be another elected official. So you, overwhelmingly, you have transit districts governed by individuals that are appointed by an elected official. Senate Bill 1536 brings Salem Transit in line with Salem Transit District. TriMet and Lane Transit District have been very successful. They really have been in expanding their ridership, their routes onto the appointed system. Now, I'm going to read another paragraph, and then I'm going to speak to you about this. I do want to, before I turn this over to some people that represent the transit district, the city, and I understand the Chamber of Commerce is here. I want to thank the current Salem-Keizer Transit Board. They are supportive of the bill. They are supportive of this bill. The individuals that are directed are now in support of this bill. That means they are agreeing to make major change in their governance and funding rules of this board. Some of them could very possibly lose their positions because of this bill. It is a testament to their commitment to transit that they are here today. They recognize that this bill will help Salem-Keizer Transit create a strong transit system, and they are willing to put their community ahead of themselves. These folks just didn't run for the transit board for the glory. They did it because they are passionate about transit, and I want to personally thank them for their service, for the commitment to the Salem area. So, I was nicknamed the bus boy when I was on the Salem City Council. I was made fun of by certain major political people in the community and major business people. I worked on every property tax levy for the bus system. My rabbit creation I used in my campaigns actually came from that, is using cartoons as a way to get people to feel good and to vote, because we finally got a yes vote on a property tax measure using characters of cartoons, people in a bus. I even rode every bus route of the city, starting on a Saturday morning, nearly collapsed at night when I got through, to try to help promote it, and finally got it passed. I have become very concerned about this community and its bus service. And I say this in no point finger way. I am not trying to point finger anybody. We do not have the kind of night service. We do not have Sunday service. We do not have the route service that serve those different types of populations. And yet we are the state capital, and many other communities much smaller than us do. I have tried to do something about this. The last time there was a levy, it was beaten. And it divided this community very badly between the business community, the chamber, and the transit system. It was not fun. It was not fun to see this going on in my community. And it's left wounds and scars that nobody's proud of. And I'm not here to point fingers, but it just wasn't right. And I decided I had to try to do something. And I realized the employer tax was a sensitive thing, because that was what was on the ballot, and it failed. I tried to introduce a bill for an employee tax to do it. And it's funny, the different people wouldn't support it. It didn't make sense. Nobody supported it. It didn't make sense to me, because I thought the bit they did. I talked about this kind of direct appointing board before, and again, it fell away. It just fell away. We've worked real hard. People have sacrificed a lot and have come forward. And we are convinced, I think, that with this appointed board, I can get people on the board. I can get business people on the board. I have to get my business community and my transit people together in this community. That's Salem. I have to get them together if I'm going to get support. And through the leadership of the person who's your chair and others, we created a transportation plan last session, which is one of the greatest in the world. By the way, part of it was an employee tax. I just smiled because I got killed on it, and you guys with us, we did that. I mean it. And in part, you got my Salem Transit District $7 to $9 million because I was hearing the city, state she got to help us. I'm saying we got to help ourselves too. But they came at me very hard. I won't say who after the failure. So here it is. The state is done. You know, the state's doing their part. So I am convinced that if we come up with this board, I can come up with the structure. We can come up with the structure that can get us where Lane is and Metro is. I mean, differently. I mean, you know. And we can break through in a way that we must break through in this community. We must. You cannot build enough bridges. You could add this other big bridge they want to build. I don't know if you looked at the way Salem's drawn up. I cannot build my way with enough roads to accommodate. I've got to get more people taking buses. We are finding out that there are a number of populations in the city need buses, even people who struggle with subsidy for buses, realize we're talking about transitional housing for prison. We've got to have a dynamic bus system, transit system, whatever you call it, in this community. And it starts with this structure. So I hope you will listen to my plea and allow this bill to go to the Senate floor and allow my community, this community, your state capital, to try to create a very dynamic transit system that exists in some of your areas. So that's it. That's my plea, and I didn't mean to get emotional. I didn't mean to get dramatic. But I go way back to the 1974 and 80 when I served in the city of Salem City Council and became very involved in buses. So call me a bus boy. Make fun of me. I used to be able to take the bus down here. They took away my bus stop. They took it away. Talk about getting, you know. You know, you can have a position of influence in the city, and it doesn't matter at all, buddy. They took away it. I came out once there by Fred Meyers North. You don't even know where that is. I'm waiting there. No bus. No bus. I see a bus way across the way. It's raining like crazy, which means they took away my bus shop. They've never got it back. It was one of the cuts. So, you know what I mean? I mean, when you're like, how far do you expect me to walk to get to the bus? And I was so proud. I get on the bus, I come in, and I walk to the Capitol. They took away my bus route. I'm not making it up. They took it away. One of the cuts. So I'd like to get my bus route back. So, you know, you don't want me driving a car, especially when it's dark. You want me in a bus. You want me in a bus. So do it for me, if nothing else. So, and that's a true story. So that's my pitch. You were very good to listen to me. I am really grateful. I hope you can find merit in this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Winter sent us a note that she supports the bill, but she's unable to attend.
Yeah, she was going to testify, but and she apparently was going to be here. And I'm not just saying that. So I think
we had her on the list. It's just she got otherwise occupied this afternoon.
Yeah, I do.
Any questions of the senator? Yes.
Yeah, Senator President Courtney, all that 40 years that you were working on transit in the Salem area, I was working on transit in the greater Portland area, been involved in every light rail line and many of the bus lines. And of course, because of your appointment, I served on all three transportation committees last session, where we, in effect, finally found a way to pay for transit, because we can't pay for transit out of the highway fund. So we found a way with this payroll tax, employee payroll tax, very small, but it'll double, it'll essentially double the amount of money for transit statewide, including a significant in the Salem area, so that you can have those buses that actually operate on Sunday as well as Monday through Friday, And, you know, some people like to go to church on Sunday, a few. And it's nice if they have a way of getting there when they can't drive. So I strongly support this bill and will do all I can to make it go on through. If you need me to testify when it gets to the House or whatever, I'll be happy to do that as well.
Thank you. Senator Rowe, I did not know. I mean, you're multi-talented, and you're one of the few people who serves on multiple. You're elected to many positions at the same time. It's all education. I did not know that you had you were quite as involved as you are, but I should have. So thank you very much.
The senator was on the original transit system. He was in his covered wagon and the pictures in the...
You know.
Come on.
Senator Beyer.
Senator.
I just want to say I support the bill also. I think it's great you've brought all the groups, got them together, and built, they're all working on this together, so you did a great job. You made a statement earlier where you said you couldn't build a bridge.
No.
I know you have a bridge named after you. I'm sure you could build a bridge
if
you had to, but that's all I'm saying.
I think what I said, I said you can build the third bridge. We're struggling over building another bridge over the land, which we need, but even if you did it and you build a road, you're not going to be... I can't build enough roads to deal with what's coming in this community. So what I'm trying to say.
One thought: if you named another bridge, could you call it the Chuck Thompson Bridge? I've never had a bridge named after me.
There may be a reason for that.
They already authorized the bridge in your district.
We did that last year.
Oh, you did.
You requested it.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Chuck, do you want to take your shot?
I have nothing to say to this.
Thank you, Senator.
This is what I'll just pass on.
All righty. Mr. Mayor and Mr. Anderson and, let's see, Mr. Williams and Mr. Krebs, however you want to do that.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, Mr. Councilor Anderson will join me, too. We'll give you a quick...
Well, that's what I said.
Did you? Okay. I'm sorry.
We're going to have company up there.
Missed the cue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Chuck Bennett. I'm mayor of the city of Salem, and I'm here just to express our strong support at City Hall for Senate Bill 1536. We've worked closely with Senator Courtney on this bill. Can't praise him enough for the work he's done bringing together disparate groups here in town to arrive at what I think is a really fair and a reasonable way for us to begin to bring this bus system into the 21st century. Certainly Peter outlined the 20th century history of the bus system, and he was the bus boy. I happened to have been a reporter on the newspaper here in town at the time, on the afternoon paper, and they really did refer to him as the bus boy. He did a fantastic job then. I think on this he did a particularly good job. We believe, along with Senator Courtney, this will strengthen the management of the transit district in terms of the public management role. We have really outstanding professional management of this system, and we think this will just add to that. And it's being done, I think, by just following the model you have in Lane Transit, you have up in the Portland area with TriMet, having the governor appoint a board of directors with special expertise and diverse representation to the board, I think will just make a tremendous difference here. We also think it'll lead to stronger oversight of the Chariot system, assist in providing new and different ways of looking at things like light rail that showed up in the Portland area. We don't know what they'll come up with here, but we need some assistance. I think you understand that being the second largest city without an adequate bus system, which is a bus system that runs at night and runs on weekends, is just not a tenable situation. And certainly, I know from my position as mayor, I meet with a number of both business and other kinds of organizations looking at coming to Salem. It's one of the questions I'm asked about. It's usually workforce, transit, the arts. It's what's it like to live in Salem, Oregon? Well, it's great if you have a car or are a really pretty experienced bike rider and willing to take a chance on some of our streets. So that's something that we hope will be resolved by this rapidly over time, and particularly through the transit bill that you passed in the 2017 session, the transportation funding bill that you passed. That I can't thank you enough, Senator, for the work done on that. That funding is going to fill gaps that we have in this system and will really allow us, I think, to bridge the time it will take under the bill's requirements to reach 2024 and have changed over the full board to an appointed board. So we, again, are very pleased with the outcome, and I have with me Councilor Tom Anderson, and I'll let Tom introduce himself, but he has some very special knowledge of this kind of activity. So if you don't mind, I'll just turn it over to him.
Welcome, Councilor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Senator Beyer, and the rest of the committee. I am Tom Anderson. I'm a Salem City Councilor. I represent Ward 2, which starts just on the other side of the street here and goes down to the Busch Pasture Park area. I strongly support the bill, 1536. I think the testimony both of Senator Courtney and also Mr. David Beam shows how it's important in this community. And Senator Courtney is right. The last time the payroll tax, it did split the community. It split the council. I was in favor of it, and it, other people had reasons to oppose it, and it didn't pass. And so now we're left with this problem. And Mr. Beam is completely correct about we need to have full transit service. For two terms, I had the privilege of serving as a board member of the Lane Transit District in Senator Beyer's district. I was there, Senator, when the headquarters was moved to Glenwood in between the two fair cities down there. I also, in that I had a stint as the president of Lane Transit District. And I was appointed twice to that position by the governor, and I was confirmed by the Senate after, you know, appearing before a panel like this. And I firmly believe that the oversight provided by an appointed board brings accountability to the transit district and a model that should be replicated in Salem. From my experience on the Lane Transit District, I can definitely state that the public is much better served with an appointed board, with board members chosen and confirmed for their technical expertise, for their ability to represent various stakeholders. I know at LTD we had a rider who was on it. We had a representative of the employees of the district, business owners, and other civic leaders. And all of this by an appointed board is without the monetary and other pressures of political campaigns. And often political campaigns, it's a when you have those things, it's a detriment to even finding people who are willing to run and willing to serve. So it's very good in something like this to not view the decisions that the board makes through any kind of purely political lens. Instead, we need to view the decisions that the board is making through their technical expertise, through whom they represent, and these kind of decisions need to be made without concerns of a political nature. So I and the rest of the Salem City Council strongly support this bill and urge its passage. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to excuse myself and have Mr. Krebs take my seat unless
there's
any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, my name is Nick Williams, and I get to serve as the Chief Executive Officer for, as I just learned, the Chamber of Commerce in the second largest city in Oregon. So we need to change our website. We have some updating we need to be doing, but happy to be here and absolutely on board. I echo the comments of Mayor Bennett, Senator Courtney, as well as Councilor Anderson. There's been a tremendous amount of work to build bridges here, and I really admire the work that Senator Courtney, particularly Senator Courtney and Senator Winters, have done to get us to this point. What we're going to, what it does is it puts puts Salem on a level playing field. And there's a reason that you see a consistency within governance structures around Oregon, but really around the country. And it's because, by and large, it works. And we need to buy into that. So we're in support of this bill, Senate Bill 1536. We're happy as a business community in Salem to have our eye on public transportation as our community continues to grow. Effective movement of people to places is critical to us as we continue to grow as a community. So, and then in closing, I'd like to thank Board Member Krebs for being an elected leader of the Transit Board for so long. It's volunteer servant leadership that a lot of people don't even know that it's a position that exists, but it's completely unpaid, a tremendous amount of time, and it's only done because he and the other board members care deeply about it. So thank you.
Bob.
Senator Beyer, members of the committee. I'm Bob Krebs, and I serve as president of the Salem Area Mass Transit District Board of Directors, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to provide comments about Senate Bill 1536. And I'm here to testify on behalf of the board to support 1536. We also want to thank Senator Courtney for his work on this bill and other transit efforts over the years. I think he kind of outlined them when he was talking to you. He is a true champion of transit, and we appreciate his willingness to tackle these hard issues. A little background, the Salem Area Mass Transit District provides fixed route transit and paratransit services to the Salem-Keizer area and commuter service to rural communities in Marion and Polk counties. The district also cooperates the 1X Wilsonville-Salem Express. We co-op that with Smart Transit out of Wilsonville. And this is heavily utilized by commuters between Portland Metro and Oregon's capital city. The district is the transit provider for seniors and people with disabilities in the area through our Cherry Lift and Shop and Ride services. Without the district providing these vital opportunities, our most vulnerable populations, many would not have the ability to shop for food, attend medical appointments, or accomplish many of necessities that we take for granted. Our main goal in everything we do is to provide better transit services for our citizens. Senate Bill 1536 makes significant changes to the governance structure of the Salem Area Mass Transit District's board. It brings the capital city of Oregon in line with transit governance model that is standard for comparable cities across the nation. In addition, Senate Bill 1536 provides for the same funding mechanism utilized by other Oregon urban cities to help pay for the services the community so desperately needs. The board recognizes that Senate Bill 1536 includes a 7-year moratorium before any potential new funding system can be implemented by a vote of the board. The board supports Senate Bill 1536 with the 7-year moratorium. The board was able to arrive at this position because their number one goal is to ensure that the transit system in Salem-Keizer meets the needs of the community. This bill, as written, contains provisions that will result in some of the current board members losing their position, as this has been mentioned before. That is a compromise the board is willing to accept solely due to the language providing the new board with the same funding options provided to other mass transit districts in Oregon. As such, we believe that the two major provisions of the bill, the governance model change and the funding mechanism, are intrinsically linked. The bill does not institute an employer payroll tax. This bill provides the option for the board to consider it if future need arises. Any action to implement an employer payroll tax will require extensive outreach to the community, including the business community. This bill would bring the district's board governance and financial structure in line with other urban centers across the state. Both TriMet and Lane Transit have demonstrated success with this model. The new board would be able to make future decisions around funding after consulting with the community and Salem Kaiser's varied businesses and writers. The district board of directors and staff are responsible financial stewards of the people's investment. This bill provides a compromise solution while charting a path forward where businesses, writers, advocates, and the general public can come together to govern their transit district. And I want to thank you for considering Senate Bill 1536.
Thank you both. Questions? Don't see any. Thank you very much. That's all I have signed up. Does anybody else wish to testify on this bill? Going once, twice? Guess not. We'll close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 1536. And I believe we have a dash one.
Chair Beyer, I move to adopt the dash one amendment.
Senator Thompson has moved that we adopt the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1536. Discussion on that motion. Is there any opposition to that motion? There is none.
What does the amendment do?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the dash one amendment repeals the statute requiring the governor to solicit recommendations of qualified people from each county and city within the subdistrict from which a member of Mass Transit District is to be appointed, but it adds the requirement that the governor must solicit recommendations for the position from local business and civic groups, and then it changed the operative date of the repeal of that finance section to 2026. The base bill has it at 2024, so that's the 7 years that was mentioned by the board of directors.
And I would note that that process is the way it works in Lane County with Lane Transit and TriMet as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just sometimes like to know what I'm voting on.
There is no, I should note that there is no fiscal or revenue impact on this measure.
I'm in support.
It is on OLAs. All righty. Let's see. So now we need a motion on the bill as amended.
Chair Byron, move Senate Bill 1536 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thompson has moved Senate Bill 1536 as amended by the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion. Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, that bill is passed to the Senate floor, and we will have Senator Winters and Senator Courtney as carriers. And I think that takes us to the end.
Mr. Chair, do you want to allow Senator Thompson? We did vote on three other measures.
Do you want to vote on these other measures?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Senator Thompson, we will allow you to vote on. I don't know if I
need to suspend the rules to allow him to vote.
Okay. So the chair moves that we suspend the rules to allow Senator Thompson to vote on Senate Bill 1516, 1532, and 1506.
I vote aye on all seven of them.
Okay. All righty. We have the rules are suspended. Senator, how do you vote on 1506? It's the veterans bill. Yes. Senator Thompson votes yes on 1506. Senator Thompson, how do you vote on 1532? That's the allowing scooters with four wheels instead of just three.
Aye.
Senator Thompson votes yes on 1532. And Senator Thompson, how do you vote on Senate Bill 1516, which provides a expanded small business expansion loan program?
I vote yes.
Senator Thompson votes yes on 1516. With that, I think we're at the end of the business.
Now we are at the end of business, sir.
Thank you.
We are?
You're welcome.
So with that, we will close her for today.
Thanks for thinking about me.
Yes.
Nobody else was.